Tell me, teacher, what are you doing with God's poured out grace upon you? Let me share with you some life experiences of a variety of people. This should furnish you with illustrations if you care to use them as you teach this chapter. Here's an illustration on God's keeping grace in our emotional stresses. The other evening I was riding home after a heavy day's work. I felt very wearied and sore depressed when swiftly and suddenly as a lightning flash, the text came to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I reached home and looked it up in the original, and at last I said, "I should think it is, Lord," and burst out laughing. I never really fully understood what the holy laughter of Abraham was until then. It seemed to make unbelief so absurd. It was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry, and Father Tim said, "Drink away, little fish. My stream is sufficient for thee." Or it seemed like a little mouse in the granaries of Egypt, after the 7 years of plenty, fearing it might die of famine. Joseph might say, "Cheer up, little mouse. My granaries are sufficient for thee." Oh, brethren, be great believers. This was the experience of C.H. Spurgeon. On God's sustaining grace as we face needs. An unbelieving man went to investigate George Mueller's orphanage work. The woman who opened the door said, "Have you brought the bread?" He replied, "What bread?" She replied, "The bread for the children. It is 5 minutes of mealtime." He found many children waiting for breakfast. Mr. Mueller was calm. In a few minutes, the woman came rushing back saying, "The bread has come," and there was a cartload. Later, the man learned that they needed about $25,000 that day by noon. Mr. Mueller confessed, "I don't know where a penny of it is coming from, but it certainly is coming." A letter from India was the entire mail. Opened in the visitor's presence, it contained a check for the amount needed. His grace is always available in the nick of time. But don't expect to have grace now for a need that you will have tomorrow. That is why people jump off of bridges or out of windows of buildings. Matthew 6:34 plainly states, "Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself." And then on God's molding grace. Valentine Burke, a notorious burglar, sat in a cell in a St. Louis jail awaiting trial. Seeing the headlines of a newspaper, "Jailer at Philippi Caught," being read by another prisoner, he asked to read it, then fumed with rage as he realized that it was the subject of a sermon Moody had preached in that city. He had noticed, however, the oft-repeated words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He got down on his knees and asked forgiveness, and from that night he was a changed man. Going to New York, he sought to earn an honest living but failed. Returning to St. Louis, an officer seized him and brought him to headquarters. There he was informed that the New York police had shadowed him and reported that he had proved himself straight and honest. He was given a position as a deputy sheriff. Later, Moody visited him in his new position, and Burke showed him some treasured jewels. "Look," he said, "they trust me to guard them. See what the grace of God has done for a burglar." And on God's restraining grace as the only unfailing remedy to cure sinfulness. Bishop Kavanaugh one day was walking through the streets of a city when he met one of its prominent physicians who offered him a seat in his car. The physician was an infidel. After a while, the conversation turned upon religion. "I am surprised," said the infidel doctor, "that such an intelligent man as you are should believe such an old fable as that." The bishop made no immediate reply, but sometime afterwards said, "Doctor, suppose that years ago someone had recommended to you a prescription for pulmonary consumption and given you directions concerning it, and you had procured the medicine and taken it as directed, and you had been cured of that terrible disease. Suppose that you had used that prescription in your practice ever since and had never known it to fail when taken according to directions. What would you say to a man who would not believe in it and would not try your prescription?" "Well, I should say he was a fool," replied the physician. 25 years ago," said the bishop, "I tried the power of God's grace. It made a different man of me. All these years I have preached salvation to others, and whenever it has been accepted, I have never known it to fail. I have seen it make the proud man humble, and drunken man temperate, the profane man pure of speech, and the dishonest man true. The rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned, the old and the young, have alike been healed of their diseases. You have caught me fairly, Bishop. I have been a fool, said the physician. And that was not the end of it. The infidel doctor went on to become the superintendent of a very prosperous Sunday school. As you handle question 13 on page 9 with your studies group, underscore the fact that, fortunately, the grace of God does not depend on our production. If it does, we are all in trouble. Grace does not grow, but we grow in it, according to 2 Peter 3:18. And we do this by trusting everything to Him. Strange, isn't it, how illogical our thinking can become? For instance, we believe that we are saved by the grace of God, and we know that we are going to heaven by the grace of God, but between these two poles of salvation and heaven, we sometimes think it is a matter of self-effort. Unusual how we can trust for eternity the Lord Jesus Christ, but feel totally on our own for these few years that we have here on earth. Here we think, in our mistaken self-sufficiency, that we must find our own mate, make our own marriage, excel in our own careers, and whirl through a list of religious do's that is supposed to make us like God. But in self-effort, as sure as God is God and you are you, it won't work. God takes us away from these limiting factors in Romans 4, 4 and 5, where it says, Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. May your every circumstance be touched by acceptance of his freeing grace this week, and especially as you carry the responsibility of communicating this all-important subject.